as we went off to a holiday last week, word came from UH Manoa that there was a surprising finding for which none could be thankful. There were more oceanic changes induced by human activities. According to the Inouye Center for Microbial Oceanography, industrial processes and agricultural impacts have significantly enhanced the ocean's nitrogen cycle. To explain what this means for the rest of us, Professor David Carl, who was the American on the international research team, is on the phone with us now. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Beth Ann.
Thanks for joining us again. Now, we know there's a natural nitrogen cycle. We've got lots of nitrogen in the air. But what does this mean for the ocean itself right now as you've taken a look at these findings that you said were so surprising?
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. We have a natural nitrogen cycle that's been going on long before humans have been on this planet. The trouble is that we've superimposed onto that natural cycle an anthropogenic or man-made cycle, one driven by our energy needs, burning fossil fuels and the like, and one driven by our food needs, fertilizing our plants. And this has led to an excess of fixed nitrogen on the planet.
And this part of it is irreparable?
Well, the problem is we fix nitrogen mainly for agricultural purposes because we have a burgeoning human population that needs to be fed. And we over-fertilize most crops, and the excess nitrogen ends up either in the atmosphere or in the rivers and streams. Eventually, everything ends up in the ocean because the atmosphere carries this man-made pollutant way out to the far reaches of the planet, including out here to Hawaii.
So given the fact that none of that looks like it's going to be stopping anytime soon, are you quite concerned that this may be an irreparable situation?
Yeah, it's very hard to put the brakes on industry and humankind. Look at the population on this planet has doubled in my lifetime, and there's no end in sight. More people means more energy, means more food. Even though we have limited resources of fossil fuels, we have a nearly unlimited supply of nitrogen. As you already mentioned, there's nitrogen in the atmosphere. It's the most abundant element. Nitrogen gas is 80% of the atmosphere. So humans figured out a way to fix that nitrogen into ammonia that they can use for fertilizer and other purposes. And there is essentially an unlimited supply.
At this point where we've had so much conversation about the carbon cycle and what we've done by shifting how much of that is now impacting the ocean, have we given the nitrogen cycle short shrift?
Well, we actually have. And the nitrogen and behind that the phosphorus cycle, these element cycles, carbon, nitrogen, phosphorus, and oxygen, are the building blocks of life, and all of them are inextricably linked. So to separate just the carbon cycle, although we tend to do that because of the CO2 problem, we now have a nitrogen problem, and people might be more focused on the nitrogen. As it turns out, my laboratory studies the phosphorus cycle, and we have a problem there that's beyond the scope of this interview today.
Well, we'll look to another conversation to talk specifically about phosphorus, but your point that these things are inextricably linked, which doesn't do much for a conversation when you're trying to focus on just one of them or get people to understand what an impact of the magnitude that you're talking about will mean for the rest of us. How do we integrate these conversations more fully in a way that people can glom onto and understand better perhaps than they've done in past?
Well, we need to have, as you're doing right now, a conversation, one that's based on scientific fact, one that's based on societal needs. These are all problems that are interlinked. We as a humankind need energy and food. We also need to protect the environment and worry about the future states of our planet. So these are things that the next generation will surely be faced with, and I think it's very important to educate the next generation in terms of these scientific principles.
David Carl, you are an oceanographer, but obviously you're also a concerned person because you've said that this is one of the most sobering things that you've seen. How do we somehow do something that will mitigate this if we can mitigate this?
Well, I started my career as a young kid interested in pollution. I grew up on a polluted Lake Erie, and I was very concerned about the state of the lake at that point. There was a slogan back then, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. And I think that's as accurate today as it was when I was a kid. We need to all join hands, get together, and solve this problem together. And it's a big problem, one that will take all the nations of the world working together.
But all that comes down to what individual actions, sort of compile, and the way in which those individual actions can have some impact, too. We think about the Pacific as being so huge, so what's a little bit of this or a little bit of that? How do you start to stem that kind of thinking and change it?
Well, dilution is not the solution to pollution, as some people think. The ocean is vast, but it's finite, and we are titrating the ocean with pollutants every day around Hawaii and around the world. This example that we just published last week in Science magazine calls for a moratorium on atmospheric release of fixed nitrogen, and that means collecting it at the source, whether it's a power plant or a farm. We need to work on this, and we need to do it together.
We're going to leave it there for the moment, but look forward to talking to you again sometime soon. Thanks so much for being here this morning.
Thank you.
Dr. David Carl is a professor of oceanography and the director of the Daniel K. Inouye Center for Microbial Oceanography at the University of Hawaii. The findings of the research on the nitrogen study is in Science magazine. There's a link on our Facebook page, Hawaii Conversation.